Well, open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're still learning your way around the Bible, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Old Testament and a New Testament. 2 Timothy is in the New Testament, and so I'm going to help you get there. It's past halfway through the New Testament. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, keep going, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. Timothy was a young man that Paul was mentoring. Paul was an apostle, and he was writing letters to Timothy to encourage him and to grow him. Timothy's so significant in the early church. Many church historians believe that he pastored the church in Ephesus. It was really, we think, the first really ever mega church. Like 10,000 people went there, several thousand in there. And a lot of people believe that Mary, before she died, went to that church. And John, the last living apostle, that he went there before he died. And so so when we read this, you can hear this mentoring taking place between Paul and Timothy. But he says this in verse 10. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. So he said, you know me. You've been around me. You've experienced what my purpose in life is. He said, you know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. Everybody say endurance. So he's talking about all of these things. You've witnessed the purpose that I have in life. You've witnessed my faith and how I've operated and trusted God in hard places. But also, you know, you've seen my love for people and how I respond in that way. But also you've seen my endurance, how I've endured and persevered in hard things. Then he said this, you know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. So he said, you've seen it all, man. You've seen me endure persecution and suffering. He said, you know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, of all the things we've talked about today, we're going to talk about suffering. And I know that's a really exciting subject. People are like, man, I'm glad I got out of bed for this, you know. And the truth of the matter is, I hope that when you leave today, like, talk about suffering. I suffered through that message. I don't want you to feel that way. But it is a reality in our walk. And for as Paul, as he's writing this letter to Timothy, preparing him to do what God wants him to do, this last phrase that he closes with and this thought is that everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In other words, if you make a decision that you want to be more than just part of the crowd, but you want to be a Jesus follower, you want to follow him, then you've made a decision that you're going to suffer persecution. It's going to be one of those things. Now, here's the reality, because of how life is, I want to make sure you get this, that some people say, well, I just want to be a follower. If I'm going to suffer for following Jesus, I'm not going to be following. Well, the big lie is if you don't follow Jesus that you won't suffer, and that's just not true either. You just get to decide what you're going to suffer for, what that suffering looks like. So as a Jesus follower, for any of us in here that desire to be Jesus followers, then there's suffering that comes with it. As a matter of fact, the very first point is this. If you live a godly life, you will experience suffering. It's part of it. And right about now, you're like, I told you we should have stayed in bed. No, man, you need to be here. I'm glad you're here. But here's the thing I want you to see. There are things that come along with it that probably people would never put in as a thought of this is suffering. And so I wrote this down that it shares this verse in Hebrews 11, verse 24. It says, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. In other words, for Moses, because he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he could have grown up with title and with privilege. But, you know, and there were things that were cool about that were good about it, but it would have stood in the way of what God ultimately had for him. Listen, of what God ultimately had for him, and that was God wanted to use him to deliver his people from slavery and from bondage. So he had to make a decision. Do I want this or this? Which do I want? What do I want my life to be about? So part of when we decide to be a follower of Jesus, part of letting go and picking up is the things that we decide, like, this is going to be a part of my life, but this isn't. In other words, being willing to endure different temptations, being willing to endure how we live our life and that it's going to be different and that it won't always be understood by culture. So there are times where, you know, there are things that if you say, I'm going to be a Christ follower, that means I'm probably not going to do this, whatever that is, anymore. Or I'm going to change how I do this, or I'm going to change who I do this for. And so that can be suffering because there are times where my flesh wants to do things. And I know as a Christ follower that I'm not supposed to do that. And so, and my flesh, you know what I've discovered about it? Even as I get older, you know, it means I've been a Christian longer now and that kind of thing, that it doesn't change the fact that my flesh is still like, yeah, but I want this. And so part of suffering as a Christ follower is that we say no to our flesh at times, man. We don't give it everything that it wants. That we have to say no to those things. You know, we say no to how we respond to issues when people disappoint us. Or when they say things about us and we want to respond a certain way and do things a certain way, well, as a Christ follower, we've made a decision that we're not going to do that. Also in the things that, you know, and now we respond to certain things, whether they're appetites in our flesh, like addictions or things like that that we have. As a Jesus follower, I don't want this to hold me captive. I don't want to be a servant to this. I want to be a servant to him. And so that's part of what suffering is. You know, there's another part of it. This was, the things we say no to, you won't always get to do what you want. If you're going to follow Jesus, there's times where he says, don't go that way, go this way. And then another part of it is, Peter wrote this to some Christians. He said this, you've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, the immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. So there's just, you know, our life is different when you become a Jesus follower. The things that, you know, the places that takes us. And not, you know, and it's not an issue of you're better than anybody or that you're perfect. I just realize this a lot of times. People say, well, just a lot of hypocrites in church. Well, I know there's some hypocrites in church. But there's a lot of people, they're not hypocrites. They're people that just haven't grown to the place that you think they should be yet. And I bet we could say the same about you. And you're probably not a hypocrite either. I don't know. But as we grow, there's things that, you know, the Lord takes us to and takes us through. But as a result of that, if you're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be things that you have to press through. There's going to have to be things that happen. There's going to be things that, you know, sometimes people are going to say things about you and talk about you. And, you know, sometimes what they say is true. And if they do, then you have to repent and take it. And, you know, I've said to people before, here's something, one thing I've discovered about some people is that sometimes they just tell part of the story, right? I'm like, okay, if you tell the story, just tell all of it. Just a thought. So on that, as believers, as Christ followers, we endure, we push through things, and our flesh doesn't always get its way, what it wants. And, you know, sometimes we take a stand, and we don't want to do it judgmentally because we're not better than anybody. All have sinned. All of us have blown it. We all need Jesus. But in that, we're doing that not because I'm better than you, because I'm not. And there may even areas as a non-Christian that you may fare better than I do. But those decisions we make are not because we're better than anybody, but we're endeavoring to follow Jesus. And so we know that sometimes it'll be hard because we do this. It's just difficult sometimes. And other times it will convict people and they'll do what they do with their conviction. So if you live a godly life, you'll experience suffering. Let's go to number two, if you would. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, from 2 Timothy, the next book over is Titus, and then Philemon, and then Hebrews, and then James, and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is going to blow your mind. This was a letter written by a guy named Peter. And so 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And he was writing to people that he knew, but it still applies to us because he starts out, the very first two words in this verse are, dear friends. These people he knows. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through. He said it to you too, man. If you're going through a hardship right now, hard place, don't be surprised by it. As if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. Now, this verse challenges me. When I'm going through hardship, there's a lot of things I want to be, but the one thing I don't want to be is glad. How many of you, when you're going through a hard place, you're like, hey, how are things going? I'm just so glad. Oh, did you get a promotion? No, I lost my job. Get a new car? No, matter of fact, they took it away because I couldn't make my car payment. How's your marriage? My wife's pretty upset with me right now. So why are you glad? Well, because I'm just going through hard places. Oh, but right here he says that we, when we're going through hardship, that, you know, that we should understand about these fiery trials, that it says we should be glad. You should be very glad. Why? For these trials make you partners. Everybody say partners. Partners. With Christ in his suffering. In other words, as we go through hardship because we're endeavoring to do what God wants us to do, then it's something that we identify with Jesus on. Because he suffered for doing what the Father told him to do. And so the same thing happens to us. See, so for these trials make you partners of Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. For the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. In case you missed that part, I'll say that last part again. Or prying into other people's affairs. And I could swear somebody else just said, hey, what'd he say? Or prying into other people's affairs. And so he said, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. So if you're suffering for being a Christian, there's no shame in that. And he said, praise God for the privilege. Everybody say privilege. Amen. For the privilege of being called by his name. So this is one of those things, man, and I do not instinctively think this. I have to be reminded of this because my flesh doesn't view it this way. But in reality, when I understand what God's saying here, I have to understand that it is a privilege to suffer for Jesus. It's a privilege to suffer for him. We identify with him in that. It's a privilege to suffer in him. There was a time where some of the apostles, man, were going through a hard place and they were being beaten and they left that place. And in like Acts 5:41, you can write this down. It says, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy. Worthy for what? To carry around a title like pastor or minister? No, that wasn't it. Worthy to be, oh man, they're such a great Christian. No. Being counting them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. The fact that they lived their life in such a way that somebody took notice of how they lived their life, and it was that they felt like that it was that they said that we were worthy to suffer for this, that we identify with Jesus in this, and it's we're worthy that we get to suffer as a result of that. And again, I'll say this, that because we live in a broken world, all of us are going to experience disappointment. We're going to experience pain. We're going to experience, you know, persecution, all of us. Here's the difference, is that you get to decide what you're going to be persecuted for. What in your life is it worth being persecuted for? If following Jesus is one of them, as you follow him, there will be people that misunderstand you, that don't get it. And they'll get convicted. Oh, well, you think you're better. That's not anything to do with it at all, man. Do what you want to do. I love you. I just know for me, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. And so we have this calling as Jesus followers, as Christians, as people that have said, Jesus is Lord of my life. And that's just not so I can wear a cross around and identify on the census as a Christian. But that's because that no matter where I live, that the kingdom I'm most committed to is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm a citizen of that when I give Jesus my life, when I make Jesus Lord of my life. Again, it doesn't mean that any of us are perfect, because none of us are. But also in that, as we follow him, that we're going to be misunderstood, people are going to be convicted, that whenever we do blow it, they're going to use that to say, see, they're just like everybody, yeah, see, they're a hypocrite. And even then, even in my failure, when I face that, because something in my life has grabbed their attention before, I have to understand, man, it is a privilege that they would connect my failure to Jesus. That's who we want to live for. I'm taking the staff's going through a book right now called Lead Like It Matters. And it's written by Craig Rochelle. I really like it. It's a good book. And he has one part in there that he was talking about. And again, he's talking to churches and leadership in churches. And he said this. He said, imagine, he said, just kind of imagine with me for a minute that if some space alien that had never heard about Jesus landed on the planet and showed up at your church and came there for 4 weeks, and again, having no historical context or cultural context, what would he say church is about? Would he leave and say, well, those guys put on a pretty good show over there? Or hey, you know, everybody dresses up real nice, or it's a segregated week, or what would he say? Or would he say that there's somebody named Jesus that's very important to them? And that's what we want to be as a church, but you know, let's take it even further. That's who we want to be personally, right? Is that who we want to be as individuals? That I want people to look at my life, and the thing that's clear is that I'm not perfect. You don't have to be a detective. You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes or Columbo to find out I'm not perfect. Just drive with me for 7 or 8 minutes. Like, oh man, dude, you got some anger issues in traffic. It's not me, it's them. They got the issues, you know. But I mean, just to have that moment. But even in that, I want to be able to look at my life and to say, Jesus really matters to him, because even in those moments, he talks to the Lord. I do. I do talk to the Lord in those moments when you're driving slow in the left lane. I talk about you, you know? And so, no, I do. I'm like, there are times where I'm like, man, Lord, I've been dealing with this. I've been driving since I was 16. That's at least 20 years ago. And so so it's like, you know, help me to grow. But in reality, I mean, that's what we want, right? We want to live our lives in such a way that even in our imperfections, that they know that Jesus matters to me. He matters to you. And so right here, that as Peter's writing this to believers, he said, man, it's a privilege to suffer for Jesus. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name, that even when they talk about you, that their criticism of you is connected with Jesus. That's a privilege. It's a privilege. And so we have to rejoice in that. Here's the last thing, and we'll close with this. Go with me if you would. You're in 1 Peter 4, the chapter right before that, 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 13. And it says this, now who want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. Let me say that again. Even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So he said that when we suffer, we want to make sure that we're suffering for the right thing. In other words, if I'm suffering because of things I've done that I shouldn't have done, okay, well, you know, I can almost say like I had that coming to me. But we want to make sure that we're suffering for the right reasons, for the right things. And so, and then to understand this, that as we endure those things, number three is this, God rewards us when we suffer for him. So I think about different things in my life. I think about my own personal walk with the Lord. I think about my call, the call that God has on my life. And I think about marriage. And so, you know, and again, I'll start with my marriage. You know, I don't make any secrets about this. Tina and I don't, either one. That we were not the couple that when we got married that Disney animals were bringing us breakfast every day with somebody's melodic voice in the background. Now, we were just making sure that our arguments didn't end up in the front yard and we weren't on some show of police or something like that. Anyway, I mean, we just were so different. And there were times that in our differences, especially in the early years, you know, and I know this, like, that it doesn't have to always be this way, but for most of us, when you first get married, that until you learn some things, here's the first rule, marriage is hard. And you're like, I can't believe a preacher's saying that. But it's true for most of us, right? That when we first got married, it was hard. I know for Tina and I, for years it was hard, but that doesn't mean it's bad. And here's the reason why it was hard, and that is because I had all of these insecurities that living with a person that wasn't afraid to point them out at all forced me to grow. And in fairness, I willingly did the same thing for her. There are a lot of, oh yeah, well what about, you know, and I mean, and so you can imagine, some of you are nodding your head and like, that's us, so. And then you go through all those things that the devil does, like you just married the wrong person, they're just the wrong person. If you married somebody else, they would appreciate you more, it would just be so good, you know, you wouldn't have to deal with, you know, they'd let you play as much golf as you want, play as much slow pitch softball as you want, you know, eat as many cookies as you, I mean, you know, it's all those things that God has clearly put in your life for you to enjoy, that they would not persecute you for that. And that's a lie. But you have to endure those things. And so I remember there were times, again, being very vulnerable with you. There were times I used to think, what would my life have been like had I not married Tina? How would it be different? And I meant that, you know, how much better would it be? And I'm sure she thought that, like, you know, squared. You know, I mean, it was just multiple times. But we endured. And our goal was not just to, you know, we eventually got to a place where we said, look, neither one of us have abused each other. We didn't abuse each other because abuse changes the conversation. It was just hard living with another person that's so different than you. And so finally to make that statement of, I'm not leaving you. I realize you're going to be faithful. I'm not leaving you. And so if we get a divorce, it won't be me. So for me, the question is not, are we going to stay married? The question is, what kind of marriage will we have? Well, you get to endure to experience that. And I went from, I don't think that I want to be married to this person, to, I can't imagine my life without her. Right? I mean, ministry is the same way. I remember when we first got into youth ministry, and I've shared this story with you. I'll share some things here in a few minutes regarding here that I haven't shared with a lot of people, I don't think. Maybe I have. Who knows? But as I've shared with you, when we first got in youth ministry, we took a 40% cut in pay. And I mean, we didn't have anything. We had to hawk stuff to keep our lights turned on. We lived in New Mexico. I remember my parents came down one time and my dad was like, hey, where's your TV? Well, it's in the shop. Oh, where's your microwave? It's in the shop, you know. Where's the VCR? It's in the shop. Man, you got the most unfortunate electronic things in the world. They're all in the shop. And he thought I was talking about repair shop. I was talking about pawn shop. And so eventually he realizes what's going on. He's like, oh, now we're not going to. So he said, we're going to go get your stuff. Dad, no, this is mine. He said, no, we're going to do it. So I let him talk me into it. So we went, and this not an exaggeration. This is not preacher talk. This is real life talk. Two carloads. We went to the pawn shop, paid the things off, loaded everything up, took it all back home, went back and loaded whatever else was there back up. Honey, I got you your used microwave back. And you got me my used lawnmower back. It was the last thing, you know, and so my wedding ring, got it back. And so all of those things that we endured, but eventually we got to a time when we're reaching 400 students a week. One night we did a drama and we had 1,000 students show up at it. The only time I ever had this, we had to go out and say to people, you can't come anymore. We're way over what the fire department said. Our limit is, we have no place to put you. And we got to see students give their lives to Jesus. They did a study and at that time we were impacting per capita more students than any other youth ministry in the nation that had reported to that thing. And the reality of it is though, is that we wouldn't have experienced that had we quit during the hard times. So we get on the other side of that, and then God says, hey, it's time for you to go to Claremore. And I'm like, well, that's where I grew up, man. I want to be there. But everything that we experienced there, so much that we experienced here, I mean, it began to be hard. And we showed up with no debt. We had savings. We had retirement. And within a few years, all of that was gone. We were called here. And then things would happen a few years into it. You know, some churches had been supporting us, but their commitment had come to a place. And so we tried to make it. We went through hard places and people left. And so we went a period of time without getting paid. Our house went into foreclosure. I remember I called a friend of mine up, Steve Smotherman, who's on our board, and I said, I'm embarrassed to do this, but if I don't do something today, we're losing our home. And he helped us. And every paycheck, I sent him money to pay back that loan. He called me one day and he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, we borrowed that from you. No, we're going to give it to you. I said, no, you're not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And he said, if you send me any more checks, I'm going to tear them up. And I'm like, well, don't do that. And so, but I look at that and like, You know, we're going to have given away over 1,000 pairs of shoes. Today, we're going to be between, when we add all three services up, somewhere 1,400 or 1,500 people will have been here today and that kind of thing. And so, but if we quit just because it was hard doing what God wanted us to do, we wouldn't have got to experience any of that. Somebody would have, because they're just great people here in this area that would have come along, and you guys would have hooked up with them because that's who you are. But I get the privilege of being the one that gets to hook up with you, gets to connect with you. And so I just want to encourage, when God speaks to you about things, man, persevere. Endure it. It's a privilege when you're suffering for doing exactly what Jesus told you to do. And so many times in our hard places, we ask him to change people or change our circumstances, but we never think about the fact that the reality of it is, for any of that can happen, he has to change us. He has to change me. And so if I'm a Jesus follower, then sometimes it leads me into hard places. Go back and look at when Jesus was baptized. He was baptized, and the minute he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to not eat for 40 days. And to be tempted of the devil. And he went through this hard place, but it says in Luke that when he returned in the power of the Spirit. And his ministry began at that moment. And so, as we see this, that God rewards us when we suffer for him. Some of the things you're going through right now, they're horrible and they're hard. But to get to where you need to be, they may just be necessary. And so we push through. We don't give up. We trust the Lord. And as we follow him, and he takes us to the place, you know, sometimes like, man, I prayed about this for a long time. How come it hasn't happened yet? Maybe you've been on the verge of it happening several times, but each time you give up. That's too hard. Who can do this? And if you would set whatever it is down that's giving you, saying, well, you could do this instead. Set that down. Pick up your cross daily. Follow him. And there's a reward waiting on the other side of you persevering and you enduring. For some of you, it's the marriage you never thought you'd have. And now you have. I'm that guy. For some of you, it's things that you thought were just for other people to experience. I'm not talking about stuff either. I'm talking about how God would use you and to experience that. I want you to do this. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. I want to pray for you. Father, you're so good. I'm just so grateful that you're so faithful. You are. You're just faithful. And I pray for every person in here, God. I'm grateful that the place that I grew up at, I get to come back and we get to do life together and reach this area together and make a difference and give our lives here together because of you, Jesus. And so I love the people in here. And I pray for any of them that are in a hard place right now. God, I'd ask that you'd help them. Help them to endure, help them to persevere, help them to endure the suffering that comes with what they want. Jesus, let them be encouraged in this moment. Let them experience your goodness in this moment and know that you see them, that you love them, and that they matter to you, and that you'll help them in this. In the name of Jesus, I pray over every life that's here, every person that's hurting, every person that's wanting to give up, that they would be encouraged in this moment and follow you. Follow you, persevere, push through. Even and especially when they don't understand this path. Lord, help them. Lord, you're faithful, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus.